The title of this broadcast is World Podgers, in case you just picked it up in the middle and don't know what you're hearing. This is Mae Brussel, and this is the second half of the one-hour program, number 822. We number them each week, I do, so you can keep track of how they flow. And if you're listening to 822 and you've listened to them going way back to 1984, you will be able to understand some of the things I was saying. I'm looking at a sheet from broadcast 679, December 10th, 1984. That was 3 years ago, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But now back to the article, The Mystery of Operation Demerven. The author claims that this investigation has covered up a lot, omitted a lot. But he said in Italy, the assassination attempt on Judge Carlo Palermo was planned in the Sicily's Trapani suburb. There was an attempt to murder him. I'm surprised there haven't been more, but he is very much alive and continuing his work. A Volkswagen was packed with 50 kegs of dynamite. It was to explode when Palermo reached a certain corner. A small golf car suddenly inserted itself between the Volkswagen and Judge Palermo's car. The golf car took the main impact of the explosion. A woman and her twins were blown apart. Starting in 1980, and these were the years when Ronald Reagan was getting ready to be president again and Jimmy Carter was running against him, Judge Palermo started to investigate what was a petty affair, a secret heroin warehouse in Italy. The warehouse led to the illegal trade of small arms. There were the drugs with a few arms. Later, the arrested said they bought the morphine into Italy from the Middle East, and in return for small arms and rifles, the morphine came in and they sent arms to the Middle East. By November 1982, 2 years later, Judge Palermo began to get into the big shots behind the heroin sales. Now, right after the Pope was shot in May of 1981, the story broke open about the P2, the secret government, the Masonic Lodge, the Nazi, remember the Waffen-SS, Gestapo, Licio Gelli, who fled Italy and was at Ronald Reagan's inauguration in 1981, and into the secret government in the world that involves fascism, Nazism, and our GOP in this country, and overthrowing what are democracies in other countries. But getting now to November 1982, because 81 was a hot time when Licio Gelli fled and the P2 story was breaking open. And by June 1982, Roberta Calvi was found hanging over a bridge in London, and Edwin Wilson was brought back to the United States, so I'm giving you a time frame. By November 82, Judge Palermo started to get into the big shots behind the heroin weapons sale, and the opening of the P2 helped him with that. He caught up with Henry R. San, the owner of two import-export firms. One's called Stibam, S-T-I-B-A-M, and the other Ericsport, with their headquarters in Milan. And, of course, they use the same building that Roberta Calvi used with the Banco Ambrosiano that gets heavily tied into the Vatican funds and Paul Marcinkus and the various scandals since that time. Henry Arsan is from Syria. He was supplying weapons to Iran on behalf of the Central Intelligence Agency and the Defense Intelligence Agency. Henry Arsan. These deliveries began in 1981. Now, many of you might have read Barbara Honegger's article in These Times, how the election was stolen in 1980. The agreement of Ronald Reagan, the administration, to send arms to Iran in return for their holding the hostages so Reagan would get elected. And this confirms a lot of what she wrote and a lot of material that has come out about the operations. And that's why I cited earlier, first part of this program, the people involved with the sabotage of the elections in 1980 and how they moved up into key positions of the administration as soon as Reagan was president in 1981. Larsan was involved in saying the deliveries starting in 1981 to Iran. In 1979, the staff of the U.S. Embassy were taken hostage. The CIA were left with no one in Iran who could supply information. Langley's intelligence was undermined after the overthrow of the Shah. The Pentagon was told they have to release the hostages, but they had no reliable information. The United States Department of Defense set up an additional section for the collection of intelligence called Operation Eagle Claw. Now, this is where Major General Richard Meadows is involved with Peregrine. He's retired in 1982. He suddenly retired in 1982, and the article from the Miami Herald couldn't explain why he retired so fast. But in 1982 was when the arms to Iran and the heroin connections were coming with Arsan that tied into Operation Eagle Claw, which involves Major General Richard Meadows. Meadows was under John Singlaub in Vietnam. That's where their close relationship was developed. And Major General Richard Secord, and of course, and then with Oliver North, who was in on that operation in Iran, and also Albert Hakim was over there. In April of 1980, when the hostages were still being held, Eagle Claw ended in a failure. The helicopter crashed and 8 were killed. The Pentagon then decided to set up a permanent joint group to coordinate paramilitary actions and espionage. Shortly after Reagan was inaugurated in 1981, the Section for Intelligence Operations was set up without the knowledge of Congress, and the sending the arms to Iran could only have one purpose. If the hostages were in danger, there's no one in Congress that would want the hostages held up. But if the operation involved sending arms to Iran from then on to pay them for letting Ronald Reagan become president, then they had to hold away from Congress, and that's just what they did. And these operations were set up under these men that I've mentioned, and Oliver North still runs Iran until he was left the NSC, and he still works for the Defense Department, the ISA, the SEALs, Team 6, and Task Force 160. And this article says the most active members of this section were Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North and Major General Secord. Secord and North drew up plans in early 1981 to sell AWACS to Saudi Arabia. We know that. Hundreds of millions of dollars from the sale of the AWACS to Saudi Arabia would then could be used for the Contras in Central America, the Dushman in Afghanistan, and other operations they had in Africa, Southeast Asia, Middle East, and Europe that would not be controlled or known by the Congress, because Congress controls the CIA somewhat, but or has to inform them, but not the Defense Department and not the National Security Council or the National Security Agency. Now, the mystery of Operation Demoven continues. The Pentagon launched another new section called the Special Operations Division, the SOD. It was dubbed the Crazed in the Basement Department because its headquarters were in the Department of Defense. Its agents carry out secret missions abroad for the CIA and DIA from El Salvador, Ethiopia, Afghanistan, Angola. And the SOD, the Special Operations Division, was the brainchild of William Casey of the CIA, but formally it wasn't part of the Langley establishment, so they could act free of congressional control. One of their operation code names was Yellow Fruit. Now, Yellow Fruit, again, is that using the Credit Suisse and these bank accounts, which it turns out have been there quite a long time, this would finance illegal groups abroad using laundered money earned from the sale of arms and narcotics, and this involved the Middle East narcotics. And I, as I said before, when Mr. Tucker was talking about Peregrine or his partner, they said that was set up in 1981 to do things that Congress can't do and the United States can't do. And this also was an operation that was part of that, that had laundered money, and they could buy weapons and deliver them to the countries they want, and then allow these people to distribute narcotics, in, particularly in the United States, literally just drug America. From 1979 to 1981, this is from the time the Shah fell until Reagan was elected, and this article says, when the Shah was kicked out till Reagan's inauguration, there was formed an influential military intelligence junta, a sort of invisible government in the United States that has its own army, its own espionage, its own finances, and conducts its own policy. And we've talked about that. I put this on the air and mentioned the material that came out at the time of the Iran-Contra hearings. But this article takes it one step further because, as again, it goes into the narcotics of the Middle East. And that's how General Secord and Ollie North can buy from Mr. Al-Qassan, the largest drug dealer in the Middle East, who was tied in Syria to Henry Arsan, because this network has been flowing for a while and could be conducted from Italy, far from the United States. This article says the Pentagon and the CIA needed a pretext to begin their supply of arms to restore their lost prestige in Iran. This was supplied by the tension that arose between Tehran and Baghdad in 1979. The Iraqis were told, go ahead and make war against Iran. They're weak. Khomeini will be out. And we were goading them on because he was old and wouldn't last long. And the tension that arose between the Iran-Iraq war was the pretext for beginning arms and bringing back narcotics, which actually had been going on for a long time. The very same year in 1980, when Judge Carlo Palermo began his investigation, a former pilot of the French Naval Air Arm named Bernard Vuillot, V-E-U-I-L-L-O-T, chose the risky but profitable trade of arms dealer and opened up the first contacts for Iran. He's a former French naval pilot. The pretext he used was that he was sending insecticides from Belgium to Iran, and this is where the arms came in, and then the narcotics came out. Three American secret services, the CIA, the DIA, and the National Security Agency, immediately developed contacts with Vuillot. And the NSA is very important when I get to Glotto Partel and his role in this. Through this crack, ships and transport planes from different countries started delivering weapons to Iran, to the country that Ronald Reagan was referring as those terrible terrorists. That's the way he described Khomeini. But the CIA, the DIA, and the NSA were sending arms to Iran. The operation was codenamed Demavend, after the mountain in Iran, and more than $2,000 million worth of equipment was delivered to Iran to Khomeini through the operation out of Italy, run by our Defense Department. Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North's Iran-Contra deal was only $100 million that he got to distribute for the Contras. This was $2,000 million of equipment went to Iran. Judge Carlo Palermo was convinced that the trade in arms and narcotics directly involves certain staff at the U.S. Embassy in Rome. And our ambassador there, Maxwell Rabb's name comes in quite a few articles defending himself against these charges or allegations. Judge Palermo sent an official in late 1982 after the Arsan scandal broke out, after the Stibam story connected not only to the Vatican but to the massive drugs coming into this country. Judge Palermo sent a letter. He asked two American diplomats for their presence. He wanted to question them. The letter was ignored. In August of 1982, when Judge Palermo was tracking down Henry Arsan, the United States National Security Council, the NSC, approved of a secret part of what they called Project Democracy. While he was looking for Arsan, Project Democracy was started. Ronald Reagan spoke in June of 82 before the British Parliament. And I'll have to check the date and see if his speech was before or after Roberta Calvi was murdered in London. But he presented a project for Europe and the world called Project Democracy. And this article says the covert part of Operations Democracy started to provide support for the Contras, and it continued the military arms for Iran, including deliveries through the Italian port of Talamone, that we started. We didn't stop the operation, and Ronald Reagan was continuously sending arms to Iran. This wasn't just a gesture because some hostages were taken. Some of the new batch of hostages weren't even taken in this interim, and this must have been a continuous blackmail payoff for the 1980 election victory. From that time, delivery of weapons to Iran proceeded along two specific channels. After Reagan was in 1981, Oliver North's group worked through the National Security Council with Secord and Credit Suisse and that yellow fruit operation, and then the Pentagon within the framework of Operation Demavend, which was their operation. By the end of 1982, starting in 83, Iran was desperately in need of American military hardware, which made up 95% of their arsenal. Only a few of their fighters were bought before the Shah was overthrown, a few of them, and only were operational, and they needed more parts. So part of the National Security Council and Defense Department's Operation Demavend, Bernard Vuillot and another French weapon dealer, Claude Lang, who worked with the CIA, set up a company called Daloa Finance Company in Panama that would send American arms to Tehran. Now, Henry Arsan was arrested by Judge Palermo. He wanted him. He would have given him a lot of information, but instead Palermo was sent to Turkey, where he died. and died in the San Vittore prison in Milan, rather. Arsène was back and died in that prison. And then another partner of his, Mr. Selenk, was sent to Turkey, where he died. Roberto Calvi died June 1982. He was hung. And then just about a year ago, Michele Sindona was fed cyanide in a jail, so that Mr. Selenk and Arsène and Calvi and Sindona are four of the kingpins that have died that would give information. It was Arsène who died in the jail in Italy. Now, April 1983, Glauco Partel, and this is an important name because of his links to operations involving Ronald Reagan's administration and so forth, Glauco Partel had been arrested, and that's a gentleman I did broadcasts about going in 1984. And that started a panic in the CIA and the DIA because Judge Palermo applied to the Italian Ministry of the Interior for information, and their computer came up with this information about Glauco Partel. This is a guy, as I said, I was talking about on World Watchers three years ago. He graduated from three colleges. He was a formal naval officer. He headed a privately owned design office in Rome. And Glauco Partel was important because Judge Palermo was questioning him, and what Judge Palermo was onto was the arms to Iran and the narcotics from the Middle East and the connections to the Ali North Sea Court operations with Mr. Al-Qassar in Syria, who obviously, and of course this author links to the Arsène operation. Glauco Partel has a privately owned design office in Rome. It's called Rocket Engines Research Center. He's a member of the Academy of Sciences in New York, London, and Paris. His patents for inventions and rocket engineering work. He works for the American Secret Service. Again, another one. Arsène worked for the American Secret Service, and also Glauco Partel. He's an expert on disinformation, and of course, working in and out of Italy with the Super Sismi, the Italian military intelligence, has been Michael Ledeen, a genius of disinformation. Partel had access to top-secret NATO information, and of course, Alexander Haig was head of NATO for a long time in Europe, and when he left, Lord Carrington of Kissinger Associates became head of NATO, and NATO was heavily involved with the P2 scandal, people from NATO. Partel supplied Judge Palermo with a lot of information how the weapons were sold, about the American Secret Service, and how they were selling arms to Iran. Now, this is in 1983 when Partel is talking to Palermo about the arms to Iran, and he told of the Central Intelligence Agency and the Defense Intelligence Operations. All of this outside of Congress, but readily available if any person in Congress wanted to read the same newspapers I read. And a lot of the material of Glauco Partel comes from Jonathan Marshall, who just came out with a new book with Peter Dale Scott on the Iran-Contra affair. The article called Operation Demovan continues. In November 1983, Judge Palermo questioned Captain Angelo DeFeo, who had a senior post in the Italian intelligence service for 5 years. DeFeo told Palermo about the real significance of Talamay Port, about the illegal arms deliveries that were strictly controlled by the secret services. There was a sharp increase of arms through Talamay in 1980 due to Operation Demovan coming out of the Pentagon, and later due to Oliver North's NSC group. By October 86 is when Hasenfuss landed in the grass in Nicaragua, at least 60 vessels had been packed with arms and ammunition headed for Iran that had left the port in Italy, the important port of Talamani. And remember, as soon as Iran-Contra came down, there was talk of Italian ships and weapons to Iran, and that was hushed up immediately across every major station. This article said the arms, trade in arms, the profits from it, was one of the channels through which the Americans, the Italian, and other arms dealers helped finance the ruling party in Italy. They put pressure on the socialists, the Christian Democrats, and just as the Nugenhand Bank was used by the same team in Australia to affect the government, and then Nugenhand's investigation was protected by the next government that came into power, they were also using this in Italy and many other countries around the world. In 1983, Judge Palermo's attention was diverted from the Italian investigation because the government was coming down on him. He was making the authorities angry. He was saying that Americans that were deploying their nuclear cruise missiles in Italy at this time and Italy wanted the profit and wanted the cruise missiles, and they didn't want Judge Palermo investigating any of these scandals about arms to Iran. So by 84, he was forced to close his case, the legal case, on the underground dealers, but he kept up his own private investigation. And during that period, Oliver North was extending his network into different countries and private organizations that would finance anti-communist organizations throughout the world when Congress refused to have the funds. Operation Demoven was doing very well. The deals were actively supported by the National Security Council. Then a man named Michael Austin, the owner of New York firm of Austin Aerospace and Universal Aerospace, joined in the weapons sales and started sending weapons to Iran. In June 84, the narcotics case was taken out of Judge Palermo's hands and moved from Trento to Rome, where it continued. Palermo's files were confiscated. He requested a parliamentary commission to watch over the ministers in the government and investigate members of the Craxi government. And it was Mr. Craxi, the Prime Minister of Italy, who Michael Ledeen called the night that the terrorists were being flown into Italy after the Achille Lauro affair. Michael Ledeen of Supersedes Me was close to Craxi. Craxi is now out of the influential position he had, although I'm sure he still has some power in the Italian government. This article says the investigation that Palermo had would have been a greater threat to Operation Demoven with arms to Iran from the Pentagon. And meanwhile, Oliver North and the Pentagon in 1984 were setting weapons, and Richard Secord was brought in to be the leader to distribute some of the money to the Contras. By October 84, Judge Carlo Palermo was moved to Trapani, which was a better move because he could establish from there the transfer points of the illegal trade of arms and narcotics, and he was big into the Henry R. Sand and the Syrian narcotics. This is where the American bases in Italy were, among them the naval base at Maddalena near Sardinia, and here the ships were loaded for military supplies for Iran, and the Sicilian mafia, especially the Greco and Ligio families, which had long-standing ties with the Central Intelligence Agency and the Defense Intelligence Agency, were part of helping send arms into Iran, and in return they were getting the drugs out of Iran that continued. The Shah's family was heavy into the flow of narcotics through their family and the profits they could accrue from it. But this operation continued when the Shah was out because Khomeini was angry that Jimmy Carter had the Shah in this country, and therefore he was willing to oblige Ronald Reagan, and in return for arms, the drugs were coming from our Defense Department and CIA through Italy. The article says in January 85 was the first assassination attempt for Carlo Palermo, but he survived it the day it took place. As I explained before, he was able, unfortunately, these other three people were killed, but he survived it, and it also coincided, his assassination attempt, with major deliveries under the Defense Department Operation Demoven. Michael Austin had arranged the sale of weapons to Iran, and he was later arrested in New York, and he sent them through Egypt and Cairo. And in Egypt, they were told the planes were going to go to Turkey. Now, just to continue Operation Demoven as fast as I can and get on to the Italian connections, in December 1985, the Court of Appeal ordered Palermo to hand over everything he had on the underground arms deals and give it to the Venetian judges who were going to shelve it. By December the 4th, Robert McFarlane left the National Security Council. Admiral Poindexter took over, and that very same day, December the 4th, Oliver North suggested going with McFarlane to Iran and now dropping the Israeli middlemen because they could deal directly with Tehran. January 17th, 1986, Reagan signed the directive of direct delivery of arms to Iran without the knowledge of Congress, and then Operation Demoven could go from the Pentagon, and it would then be in jeopardy because the president has said it was okay, so the secret operations were in jeopardy because they had been going on for a long time through Credit Suisse, through the drug traffic, and so forth, and the American Customs caught arms dealers red-handed. And, of course, as I say, the case in Texas was dropped of E.N. Smalley sending arms, and the case of Paul Cutter evidently has been robbed, other names, Cishola, his other name, or his original name, and the arms deals to Iran by other people were intercepted by Edwin Meese or prosecuted to stop them from sending, But there got to be a mess because a lot of people were sending arms to Iran with a wink and a nod from the government, and all of a sudden they were arrested. Michael Austin had a hasty trial in New York City. His sentence for arms to Iran was 20 weekends in prison plus a warning, don't talk. And Austin's participants were arrested in Italy and were told to conceal the Pentagon NSC operations. And one of the men who was knowledgeable about the weapons to Iran was Cyrus Hashemi, who was mysteriously killed in London, July 28, 1986. In February of 86, the United States Secret Service turned to the Italian Supersesmi, the Italian intelligence, for help in February 86 because the U.S. wanted to win favor with Iran and speed up delivery of the hostages, so they began escalating their supplying to Iran with intelligence information. They were getting a lot of information from Ali North, who took top secret material. And, of course, this probably was a blackmail for not saying how long the weapons were going over there. And May 28, 1986, the Pentagon Room 2B-869 decided Operation Demoven could continue, even though the president had now signed a directive for weapons to Iran. In August 1986, the Mafia, the Licio family, began another plan to get Carlo Palermo, but he was arrested on charges of exceeding his authority, and he wanted to bring out the story of the arms trade and the drugs, and then his trial was postponed indefinitely because he said, if you say I exceed my authority, I want to tell you what I'm doing. And this article concludes, when the Iran-Contra scandal burst open, the flames of the fire jumped to Italy. The unpleasant facts about the government started to come out in Italy. Members of the cabinet openly lied when they denied that arms were shipped to Iran. Members of the cabinet here, at least in June 1984, during the embargo, at least 8 permits for export of arms to Iran took place. Operation Demoven took place from the American bases in Italy, in the port of Talamani, and also through the offices of Palazzo Margherita, M-A-R-G-H-E-R-I-T-A, where the American embassy had their headquarters. In March 1987, American Ambassador to Italy Maxwell Rabb had to appear before a Manhattan court that was examining the independent of our Congress that won't touch the Italian ambassador, the smuggling of arms from the United States to Iran. Now, engineer Glauco Partel, testified about his work with the American Secret Service, and he arranged a explosive story November 30th, 1986, published in L'Espresso in a Rome magazine, where Partel confirmed much of what Judge Palermo had discovered through these years and regarding the violation of the arms embargo to Iran, the designation of Talamé as the port, the delivery of arms, and other CIA and CIA operations that were going on. And Partel spoke twice of the Italian public figures who were in the pay of the CIA in America, the ministers, the senior military officers who benefited financially from the arms trade. Now, I just have a few minutes to run down some of the articles that maybe I can continue with next week. On broadcast number 679, December the 10th, 1984, I was talking about Rosano Brazzi, a close friend of Ronald Reagan's, and his cohorts that were suspected of selling atomic bombs, submachines, guns, tanks, helicopters, missiles, plutonium, uranium to Iraq, Taiwan, Philippines, and Argentina. And also linked with Rosano Brazzi is Henry Arsan, whose name comes up in other articles that I have. And also there, Le Matin, June 20th, 1984, has an article about Claude Partel, who worked 15 years for the National Security Agency, employed 200,000. He was an intermediary for a bomb affair, and he worked with Eugene Bartholomaeus from Sydney, Australia. Bartholomaeus was receiving weapons from Partel and was involved with the CIA surplus arms storage. And, of course, the Nugent Bank ties to Bartholomaeus, goes back to Glauco Partel, and the linkage of the drugs and the weapons of the Secord, Theodore Shackley, Thomas Kleins, makes a full cycle from Australia to the Middle East, where they were active in Iran earlier, and to the Iran-Contra team, the Middle East drugs, and the arms to Iran being hidden by the major news media and now finally coming together in a pattern. I don't have time now to rush. I don't want to rush through the connections of these people to Ali North, Secord, and Henry Arsan, and Stiebaum. So I'll do some more of it next week, but finally, the Middle East picture is coming out, and as I mentioned last week, that is a key, what I had on broadcast number 821, is North and Secord buying arms for the Contras from the largest drug dealer in the Middle East from Syria, the group that were Mr. Al-Qassar, who is linked to the late Henry Arsan and their narcotics traffic in Italy. And out of Italy is where the arms were going continuously to Iran ever since the time that the Shah was out of office. So I will try to get back to some of this next week. I hope it isn't too confusing. It is sometimes, but years later you'll understand what I'm saying. This is Mae Brussel, and I'll go along the drug lines of the Middle East because the Central American drug connections are becoming more open every day, and it's building its own momentum, that part of the story.